Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus a big round of applause. God is good. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. It's always great to be in the house of the Lord. It's always my pleasure, you know, to bring the word. Pastor Joe, I hate to say this, you're going to eat your words at the end of the day. Because Arsenal are going to win. Hallelujah. God is on our side. And if God be for us, amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that indeed the entrance of your word brings light. Father, we thank you that today again your word will do what you have purposed and planned for it to accomplish in our lives. We come against every distraction, everything that is contrary to the will of God. We make null and void. We take captive in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that your word will go forth today to accomplish its plan and its purpose in our lives. Father, thank you, Lord God Almighty, that it is impossible for your word to return to you void. Therefore, we say today, Lord, in our lives, your word will accomplish its plan and its purpose in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you praise, we give you glory. We bless your holy name. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you because we know that you will do what you alone can do amongst your people today. We give you the praise and the glory, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. God is good. And all the time. Hallelujah. I want to share with us this morning, and everything I'll be saying to you applies to me as well. It's a year of expansion, and I believe that many of us are already experiencing expansion in our lives. If you've experienced any kind of expansion in your life, let me see your hands. I have. Praise God. So we are on the right track. Amen. But as we continue in this year of expansion, there is someone who is committed to seeing us fulfill every plan and every dream of ours. And that person is the God that we serve. But my question to you this, well, it's almost afternoon, but it's still morning. It's not 12 o'clock yet. It's just 3 minutes to 12. So my question to you this morning is, are you committed to God in your pursuit of expansion? Are you committed to God in your pursuit of expansion? There is no doubt that God is committed to us as his people. And as we will see from his word in a minute or so, God is committed to our expansion. But are we committed to him in our pursuit of expansion? Let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, I'll read this particular Bible verse from the New Living Translation. Isaiah 46, and I'll read from verse 3. Listen to me, descendants of Jacob, all you who remain in Israel, I have cared for you since you were born. Yes, I carried you before you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime. Everybody say, I will be your God.
I will be your God.
Throughout your lifetime.
Until your hair is white with age.
I made you.
I will care for you.
I will carry you
along and save you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
What more can God say to you to convince you that he is committed to you? He said, before you were born, I have cared for you. Let's go back to verse 3. Listen to me. I'll read from the latter part. I have cared for you since you were born. Yes, I carried you before you were born. That's why the Bible says, whilst you are still in your mother's womb, I knew you. God says that his commitment to us was even before we were born. So if God is committed to us before we were born, how much more now that we are alive and living and kicking? His commitment to us is forever and ever. Verse 4 again. I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white with age. That means until you are old, very, very old. And I made you. He said, I made you and I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you. In this year of expansion, that is God's commitment to us. He said, I made you, I will care for you. I will carry you along the way, as we go through this year of expansion. He said, I will carry you along. You don't need to go on this battle on your own. God is saying, I am there for you, I am carrying you along, and I will save you. I will see you through this year of expansion. God has shown his commitment and his dedication to us. Are we showing the same commitment to him in our pursuit of expansion? Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Joshua 1 and verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong, vigorous, and very courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Everybody say, God is with me wherever I go in this year of expansion. God is with me wherever I go in this year of expansion. Again, we see God's commitment to us. Said, be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. And all the time. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. And I read from verse 5. Let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money. Now, I'll go to the second part that I actually need. It says, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. How much more can God show you that he is committed to you? I mean, I love this in the Amplified Version. I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. How many of our friends have disappointed us this year? How many of our friends have said to us, I'll do this, I'll do that, and then they end up not doing it. But our God says, I will not leave you. I will not give up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Everybody say, God will not relax his hold on me. My God will not relax his hold on me. Hallelujah. Give God a big round of applause. He is worthy to be praised and adored. Our God, he has said it, And what he says he will do it. Because he's not man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. He said, assuredly, I will be with you. I will never relax my hold on you. Assuredly not, says the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, God reiterated his commitment to Israel before their expansion into the promised land. And God is doing the same thing with us in this year of expansion. If we turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy 31, you know, we'll see the way in which God reiterated his commitment to Israel before they entered the promised land. Deuteronomy 31, and I read from verse 3. The Lord your God will himself go before you, and he will destroy these nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. And Joshua shall go over before you as the Lord has said. And the Lord will go, and the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. Verse 5. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong, courageous, and firm. Fear not, nor be in terror before them. For it is the Lord your God who goes before you, and he will not fail you or forsake you. And Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong, courageous, and firm. For you shall go with these people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to possess it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will march with you. He will not fail you or let you go or forsake you. Let there be no cowardice or flinching, but fear not, neither become broken, in spirit depressed, dismayed, or unnerved with alarm. Hallelujah. God is saying that he is with you. Therefore, he's telling us in this year of expansion, he will not fail you. He will not let you go or forsake you. Let there be no cowardice or flinching. What God says he will do for you in this year of expansion, hold on to it, believe God, and go forth and accomplish it. Because God says he is with you. And God says, fear not. Neither become broken, in spirit depressed. Don't be dismayed. Don't be distressed. Don't be dismayed. Don't be unnerved. Let God be God. If God says he will do it, who can stop it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, my question to you is, are we committed to God in our pursuit of expansion? We've seen God's commitment to us. Without a shadow of doubt, God is committed to us accomplishing everything that we've planned and purposed in this year of expansion. But are we committed to God? What does it take to be committed to God? What does it take to be committed to God? Let's look at Exodus 24. And verse 3. Exodus 24 and verse 3. Moses came and told the people all that the Lord had said, and all the ordinances, and all the people answered with one voice, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Everybody say, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. What has God told you to do in this year of expansion? Are you following what God has asked you to do? I'm asking myself the same question. What has God told you to do in this year of expansion? I believe there are two things that are key in this year of expansion and in listening and doing what God has asked us to do. Amen? God is calling us to obedience. And God is calling us as his people to obtain
and apply wisdom in this year of expansion. God is calling us to obedience. God is calling us to obtain and apply wisdom. In everything that we'll be doing in this year of expansion, those two things are key. Obedience, application of wisdom, obtaining wisdom. You know, it's one thing to obtain wisdom. It's another thing to apply wisdom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at Joshua 24 and verse 21. Joshua 24 and verse 21. Thank you, Gifty. You're doing a great job. And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." "Then put away," he said, "the foreign gods that are among you and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, his voice we will obey." And so Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was in the court of the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, "See, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words that the Lord spoke to us, so it shall be a witness against you, lest afterward you lie, pretend, and deny your God." Hallelujah. So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance. Let's have 27 again. The Bible says, "For the stone shall be a witness against us." I didn't know that stones were here. Well, the Bible is telling us the stone's here. It says, "For it has heard all the words." See, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words the Lord spoke to us. Everything that God has spoken, are you willing to see it through, to accomplish it, to be obedient to the word of God in this year of expansion? Are you willing to put aside, you know, the Bible talks about Joshua telling the children of Israel to put aside all the foreign gods. Well, we don't have idols, but we do have things in our lives that can stand or represent an idol. So are you willing to put aside all those things in this year of expansion? Are you willing to follow God's plan for your success in this year of expansion? Are you willing to commit to God in this, in your pursuit of expansion? Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4, and I read from verse 5. "Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding." Everybody said, "In all my getting, I will get understanding." You know, obtaining wisdom and applying wisdom, like I said earlier on, there are two things. So how do we obtain wisdom? How do we, as God's people, obtain wisdom? Before we go into that quickly, we're going to have I want us to see a short video clip. You know, it's all about commitment. And I want you to just listen to what this young guy has to say. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's have it, Gifted.
Time. I think commitment just comes down to just these two things, and if you really understood these two things, it would make all the difference in our life. At the end of the day, commitment just comes down to, number one, doing what you say you're going to do. I think this is so important. I think this is one thing that my father has instilled in me, that your word needs to be law. Because how can you expect someone else to believe what you're going to say if you don't believe what you're going to say, if you don't believe in what you actually say? So that's the first part. We talked about goals, dreams, and ambition. and listing out what is the price to pay and deciding if you're willing to pay the price. So if you say you're going to work out and train at the gym 5 times a week, then do what you say you're going to do. If you say that you're going to cut out Facebook and limit Facebook to 15 minutes a day, then do what you say you're going to do. That's the first part of commitment. The second part of commitment is taking action in spite of your thoughts, feelings, and emotion. Now, why is this so crucial? It's because there's going to be days where you don't feel like doing what you say you're going to do, and this is when you need to be reminded of it. So for example, this vision board over here, I've got my fitness goal as completing the Spartan race and training for it. And I listed one of the steps was to train at the gym 5 times a week at least, regardless of whether I'm traveling, whether I'm jet lagged, or where I am in the world. Now, you know what's gonna happen? There are days when I take a 15-20 hour flight to South Africa in Johannesburg, and I reach at 5 a.m., I've got to speak at 10, and you know what? There's gonna be days where I just tell myself, you know what? I really, really deserve to sleep in today. And you know what's gonna happen? The alarm goes off early in the morning, and what do you think normally happens? The first thing that comes to mind is reasons and justifications of, you know what? I deserve to sleep in today. You know what? I deserve the rest. I am jet lagged. And that is when I want you to remind yourself. The definition of commitment, what is it? It is take action in spite of your thoughts, feelings, and emotion. And that is commitment.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is commitment. You see, and everything the guy, he's a young guy, he's a multimillionaire. Well, that's why he's a millionaire, because he's committed. You know, it's all good. I mean, it's good when we say, yeah, we have dreams, we have goals, and this is our year of expansion. This is what I want to accomplish. I want to do this, I want to do that. But are we even committed to the things that we say we are going to do? It's tough, it's hard. And and use my example. After I recovered from my illness, you know, I said to myself, I'm going to prove to the devil, you know, that the things that I couldn't do before I was ill, now that I've recovered, I'm not even going to do more than I was doing before I was ill. Before I was ill, I used to exercise, but, you know, just maybe once a week, I used to come to the LTC and do some workout with Junior and the rest. And I said, Lord, this, as I've come out of this, you have brought me out of this. I said, every day, 5 days a week, I'm going to do 3 kilometers power walking every day. And I started 3 kilometers every day. And I said, no, that's not enough. 3.5 kilometers. I started every day for 5 days. I was doing 3.5 kilometers. And I said, no, that's not enough. 4 kilometers every day. I started. I was doing 4 kilometers every day. And I said, no, that's not enough. 5 kilometers every day I was doing. And I said, no, I can push myself harder. And right now I'm doing 5.5 kilometers every single day, power walking. But thank God. But it's not easy. There are days when I wake up and it's cold outside or it's raining and I think, like the guy said, oh man, I think I'm going to cut. No. Then I said, no. I'm determined. I've said to myself, I am going to do this every single day, 5 days a week. So every day I'm doing 5.5 kilometers and I'm happy. You know, I have a sense of achievement. Every time I go and I come back, I say to myself, well done. You know, there was a particular day I wasn't feeling too well, and I was going to call it quits. But that day, as I started walking, I said, okay, I'm even going to break my record today. This day that I wasn't feeling well, I broke my record that day. So it's all about commitment. It's all about, we can do it. You know, all things are possible for those who put their hope and their trust in the Lord. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by the Spirit of God. We can do it. When we put our heart to it, when we put our mind to it, there is nothing that is impossible for us. Hallelujah. Amen. Give God a big round of applause. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So how do we obtain wisdom? Remember I said to you, the things that God will want us to do in this year of expansion. Obtain wisdom. Apply wisdom. Obedience. Let's look at Job 28. Quickly. Thank you. Job 28 and verse 12. I read from 12 to 15. But where can wisdom be found? This is Job. And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me. And the sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. Let's go to verse 20. Verse 20. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? 21. It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. 27. Verse 27. Then he saw wisdom and declared it. He prepared it. Indeed, he searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Hallelujah. So we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Job asks us question. So where can wisdom be found? The sea says, well, I haven't got it. And so now we know where wisdom comes from. Wisdom comes from the fear of the Lord. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 9:10, we don't have to turn to it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, let's go to James 1, verse 5. James 1, 5. And it says, if any of you, we all know this scripture, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So we know where we can obtain wisdom. Amen? Yeah? Okay, good. Let's look at Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24 and verse 5. You know, as we believe God for expansion, we must seek wise counsel in the implementation of our plans for expansion. It is key. The Bible says, a wise man. No, let's have the amplified version, please, Gifty. Thank you. A wise man is strong and is better than a strong man. And a man of knowledge increases and strengthens his power. Amen? 6. For by wise counsel you can wage your war, and in an abundance of counselors there is victory and safety. Hallelujah. In this year, no, leave it in verse 6, please. You know, it said, by wise counsel you can wage your war. How many of us know that whatever we do, anything that will bring progress to our lives is a war against the devil? Yeah? The devil is not happy. Anything that will cause us to succeed or to improve our lives or to, you know, bring increase in any way, the devil is not happy. So this is a year of expansion. The devil is not happy at what God is doing and will continue to do. So it's a war. So but the Bible says, for by wise counsel, you can wage your war. So what do we need? Again, we need wisdom. We need wise counsel. And he said, in an abundance of counselors, there is victory and safety. Don't think that this idea that you have, you know, seek the counsel of the wise. Seek the counsel of the wise before you implement any plan that God has given you in this your year of expansion. Amen? Can I hear an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These are all ways of obtaining wisdom. You know, but like I said earlier on, it's one thing to obtain wisdom. It's another thing to apply it. So how can we apply wisdom? In other words, what are the benefits of having wisdom? Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And I'll read from verse 10. If the axe is dull and the man does not wet... Let me see. Okay, I want the amplified version. If the axe is dull and the man does not wet the edge, he must put forth more strength. But wisdom helps him to succeed. Everybody say, wisdom helps me to succeed. In this my year of expansion, wisdom will help me to succeed. You see, this is the case of working smart and not hard. The axe is dull, and you're trying to cut a tree with it. You're going to be there for ages. But once you sharpen the axe, it makes the job easy. So we need to work smart and not hard in this year of expansion. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Again, wisdom helps us to differentiate between right and wrong. And we see this in 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9 from the New Living Translation. Thank you, Gifty. You're doing a great job. Give me an understanding heart. Again, this is a scripture that we're all familiar with. This is Solomon. So that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? So, verse 9, leave it at verse 9. Thank you. So, when we have wisdom, we are able to differentiate between right and wrong. So, when we apply wisdom, we know that, this decision that I want to take, this is not right. No, wisdom is telling me this is not right. And the wisdom is telling me, okay, yeah, this one is the right way to go. So we need wisdom as well, you know, for direction. Solomon, we know, was probably the wisest man of all in his time. The Bible says, you know, he said to God, give me an understanding heart so I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. So wisdom enables us to know the difference between right and wrong. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Wisdom also helps us to keep disaster at bay. Proverbs 3:21 from the Amplified Version, please. Proverbs 3:21. My son, let them not escape from your sight, but keep sound and godly wisdom and discretion. And they will be life to your inner self and a gracious ornament to your neck, your outer self. Then you will walk in your way securely, and in confident trust you shall not dash your foot or stumble. When you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yes, you shall lie down and your sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden terror or panic, nor of the stormy blast or the storm or ruin of the wicked when it comes, for you will be guiltless. For the Lord shall be your confidence, firm and strong, and shall keep your foot from being caught in a trap or some hidden danger. Say, God is my confidence. And he will keep me out of disasters. Father, Lord, I thank you that your hand is upon me to keep me from disaster. Hallelujah. You see, an example of someone who applied wisdom by, you know, doing something that prevented disaster is what we'll look at now in closing. Let's look at 1 Samuel 19. 1 Samuel 19. Then Saul sent troops to watch David's house. They were told to kill David, but when he came out the next morning, But Michal, David's wife, warned him, if you don't escape tonight, you will be dead by morning. And so she helped him climb out through a window, and he fled and escaped. Don't worry, we'll stop there. Let's go back to 11. The Bible says, Saul sent troops to watch David's house. They were told to kill David when he came out the next morning. But Michal, David's wife, warned him, if you don't escape tonight, you will be dead by morning. Now, if I asked you this question before reading this verse and I said to you, what do you know about Michal, David's wife? Everybody will tell me, he was the one who told David off, rebuked him because he was when he was dancing. Now, nobody remembers. This woman saved the life of David. This woman saved his life by wisdom. By wisdom, she saved David's life. And David became king, and we all know the rest of the story. But nobody knows, nobody remembers Michal for this. We all remember her for telling David off. You know? But she applied wisdom. Psalm 59. And I'll tell you that God used her to save David. Psalm 59, verse 1. This is David. And this is, if you study your Bible, even if you look at the footnote of Psalm 59, you will see it says that it talks about when Saul was after David's life to kill him. It said, rescue me from my enemies. So this situation was the same situation that we read about in 1 Samuel. Rescue me from my enemies, O God. Protect me from those who have come to destroy me. So the people that Saul sent to destroy David. Rescue me from these criminals. Save me from these murderers. They have set an ambush for me. Fierce enemies are out there waiting, Lord. Though I have not sinned or offended them, I have done nothing wrong, yet they prepare to attack me. Wake up, see what is happening, and help me. O Lord, God of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, wake up and punish those hostile nations. Show mercy to the show no mercy to wicked traitors. Let's go back to verse 4. Verse 4. I have done nothing wrong, yet they prepare to attack me. Wake up, see what is happening, and help me. So who did God send to help David? Hallelujah. God will always send someone to rescue us. That is always when we cry out to God. You know, in this our year of expansion, wisdom will help us avoid disaster. But when disaster comes, in the case of David, they were out there to kill him. They were waiting for him to come out to kill him. But God gave his wife wisdom, and she was able to rescue him. And you know, David escaped. And we all know the rest of the story. Hallelujah. Amen. What is God saying to you in this year of expansion? Are you committed to God in your pursuit of expansion? I'm asking myself the same question. Can you touch your heart and say, yes, I am committed to God in my pursuit of expansion? Are you going to seek wisdom? Are you going to obtain wisdom? And when you obtain wisdom, are you going to apply it? Are you going to be obedient? Am I going to be obedient to what God is saying to me in this year of expansion? You know, my prayer is for all of us that in this year of expansion, indeed, I have every confidence and assurance that God is going to expand us. But we must be obedient. We must be willing to obtain wisdom at all times and apply wisdom in our pursuit of expansion. Hallelujah. Let's give God a big round of applause. Father, we thank you. Lord, we bless your holy name. We give you praise. We give you glory. You are the God of expansion. Without you, we cannot expand. But Father, we thank you that you have called this year a year of expansion. Therefore, we will expand to the east, we will expand to the west, we will expand to the south, we will expand to the north. The enemy will not be able to stop us in any form, shape, or manner in the name of Jesus, because our hope is in the Lord and our trust is in the Lord. Our hope is not in horses or in chariots or in what man can do for us, but what God alone can do for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Father, we thank you that you are for us, and we know that we are on the victory side. As long as we are on your side, we know that victory is assured. Lord, we declare that we will be obedient, O God, in every way this year. Lord, we declare that, Father, we will obtain wisdom at all times. And not only will we obtain wisdom, we will apply wisdom in every situation and every circumstance of our life. We give you praise, we give you glory. We bless your holy name, and we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.